Good evening. Let's turn on over in our Bibles, Revelation 22. And tonight I just want to talk about the fact that Jesus is coming soon and he's coming back. Jesus is coming back. And I know that is not a surprise to us, but you know, I started thinking recently, I was in a Bible study and this came up and I was like, I haven't really talked about this in too many Bible studies recently, and I haven't really heard about it a ton recently up front. So I figured it'd just be a good reminder to think and to contemplate the fact that Jesus is going to be coming soon, and he's coming back. So we'll just read Revelation 22, start verse 20, and then we'll pray. He who testifies to these things says, "Yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you are holy. You are blameless. You are above all. And I'm so appreciative for the fact that I get to preach from your word tonight. And I just pray that these are words that are edifying, that are encouraging, and they are uplifting to the saints, that we can remember that Jesus is coming soon. He's coming quickly. He's near. And I just pray we don't lose sight of that. Pray for those who are in Christ, that are maybe drifting, that are struggling, that are not here tonight. Just pray you be with them and comfort them and encourage them. And I also want to pray for those who are sick, who are ill, who aren't able to be here tonight. And just pray that you are able to give them a speedy recovery and ultimately that they can bring honor and glory to you to do your work. Just pray for a great evening. It's in your son's name I pray. Amen. So tonight I want to break my message into 2 points. This world is not our home, and I'm just a passing through. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to start off by singing. The first point, though, is this world is not our home, and the second point is that Jesus is coming soon. And he is. He's coming soon. So we'll start with the first one. This world is not meant to be our home. We're not to associate this world. We're not to see this world as our forever home. This is not the place where we kick back and retire and just live the rest of our life. And hey, you know what? I'm going to live here forever. Nolan gave his address out earlier, and I think I should give mine out too in case people are making their rounds giving stuff, you know, gifts. But I'm not going to live at 3955 Olympic Boulevard forever. It's not our forever home, guys. And we shouldn't view it that way. Let's turn on over to 1 John chapter 2. I didn't say the apartment number, so we're still good, though. 1 John chapter 2. We'll read verses 15 through 17. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lust. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. You know, it's not difficult to look around and to see that the things of this life are fading. The things of this life are not meant to last forever. I've brought it up before, but you know, I broke my face earlier this year, and it wasn't that hard. It happened pretty fast. This world, this body is not meant to last for very long. This piece of wood's not meant to last very long. This building is not going to last. Vehicles sure don't last that long. The second law of thermodynamics is that entropy is always gaining, right? You guys have heard of that? It's a law that you can't avoid. It's something that's not going to change. And the idea is that disorder, chaos, that's always going to keep gaining. And my wife can attest to that because she looks at my vehicles, and sometimes it's hard for me to stay on top of that. But let's turn on over to Romans chapter 8. You know, if you let something just set, does it usually get better or worse? You know, even our bodies or even vehicles or things of that nature, if you just don't use it, actually it doesn't really get any better. And there's a, even with my face or different things I've had issues with, you know, wrist problems, ankle problems, different things, they actually tell you, the physical therapist will just say, keep using it. Obviously, you don't want to push the boundaries too much of the pain, but they'll say the worst thing that you can actually do is if you just stop using it completely, depending on what it is, obviously. You want to keep using it. You want to make sure that you don't lose too much muscle. That doesn't totally lose its total function. We're in Romans chapter 8. We'll read verses 18 through 20. Paul says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will also be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God." The point that I just want to start by making is that even the Bible says the world is subjected to futility, uselessness. It's not going to keep going. And that's a law that cannot be avoided. Real quick, I just wanted to make a point off of Romans 8:18, and I thought this was really interesting. He talks about, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." The example I thought of is, you know, have you ever had a really bad day? And I know Nolan's brought this up. Different people have brought this up. Have you ever had a really bad day? Have you had a bad day recently? I've had a couple that I keep thinking about. I'm like, why did I let this small moment of my day ruin the whole day? Have you ever had that before? 5 minutes goes by, somebody said something wrong, something happened. You know, there's a bad interaction with somebody, and then it just seems like the whole world is falling apart. Maybe that's a little dramatic. Maybe it wasn't quite that bad. But sometimes we take little things, you know, the suffering of this life, and we just blow it way out of proportion. And we just let it change our view of things. And, you know, the sufferings of this life, Paul had a lot of things he probably could have had a bad attitude about, but we can't let those things change the way that we view everything else. This world is not our home. Use the things that are not so nice about this world to realize that, hey, I don't want to stay here too long. Do you want to stay on earth forever? I don't. Let's turn on over to Matthew chapter 6. Had a good Bible study earlier today, and my wife actually, I thought about this verse because my wife brought this one up. Matthew chapter 6. And we'll read verses 19 through 21. "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." You know, I mentioned retirement and things of that nature. Can you imagine building your kingdom on earth just to have somebody break in and steal it all? How would that make you feel? Can you imagine that you're going to have all of this, you know, you buy the nicest, newest car, you get the best house, you get all of these different things, and really at the end of the day it just keeps deteriorating and you have to keep maintaining it, and it keeps breaking down. That's really what people put their entire life into achieving. People will spend their entire lives to save, to strategize, to put themselves in a position, really, to have something that's just going to be broken, rusted, or stolen. This world is not our home. It is never meant to be. And Jesus, by a physical standard, didn't really have a whole lot. You know, I thought about Solomon. Solomon had arguably the most amount of money of all time? You know that Solomon would be like a modern-day trillionaire? By some of the estimations I saw, you know, there's plenty that say 200 plus billion different things, and some place it into the trillions. I don't know, it'd be really hard to assess the value of how much he really had in his kingdom. Solomon had a lot of stuff, didn't he? Let's turn on over to Ecclesiastes 5. You know, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter how much stuff you can accumulate. Sorry, you guys are already at Ecclesiastes 5. Let's read, start in verse 10. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves abundance with its income. This, too, is vanity. When good things increase, those who consume them increase. So what is the advantage to their owners except to look on? The sleep of the working man is pleasant, whether he eats little or much, but the full stomach of the rich man does not allow him to sleep. There is a grievous evil which I have seen under the sun, riches being hoarded by their owner to his hurt. When those riches were lost through bad investment, he had fathered a son, then there was nothing to support him. As he had come naked from his mother's womb, so he will return as he came. He will take nothing from the fruit of his labor that he can carry in his hand. This is also a grievous evil. Exactly as a man is born, thus he will die. So what is the advantage to him who toils for the wind? Let's actually go down to chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is prevalent among men. A man to whom God has given riches and wealth and honor, so that his soul lacks nothing of all that he desires, yet God has not empowered him to eat from them, for a foreigner enjoys them. This is vanity and a severe affliction. You know, you think about Jesus. And when he was tempted by Satan, he was brought up to high place, right? And he was offered everything. Solomon pretty much had everything. Does Solomon have it today? No. Not that. After Solomon died, what happened? The kingdom didn't really stick together that well. It split, right? Money goes everywhere. Makes me think of Ecclesiastes 5:10 or 5:11, where he says, hey, when good things increase, those who consume them increase. You know, that's the interesting thing about it. If we can build our world and we can accumulate great masses of wealth in this life, you know what happens? It's just more money that gets spread around. It's just more money that gets taken by somebody else. That's not a pleasant thing to think about if you're banking on how much money you're going to save in this life, is it? But that's where I want us to, again, focus on this home. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. And, you know, the thinking about passing through, you know, I think this is a really good reminder. We have to constantly be reminding ourselves of this. When Morgan and I were in Mexico, or I know Fiji has been mentioned, different places have been mentioned. I know there's some nice places out there. Mexico is really nice. It was. And there was a moment when I was sitting there, and I was looking at the ocean, and I was listening to the waves, and I had my feet in the sand. And I looked over at my wife and the sun is setting and I was like, man, this is perfect. And I realized that this is not my home. And I realized that the reality of Mexico is about to vanish tomorrow. But I had to consciously tell myself that while I was there. Now, would living there actually be the greatest thing in the world? Maybe not, because yeah, a lot of people there didn't have a whole lot. It is tough living there, especially for those people that live there full time. You know, I was there just for a short amount of time, but I had to tell myself, hey, this is not my home. I'm going to be going back. I had to do a reality check like a cold bucket of water. And that's maybe what we have to do with the way that we view life on earth. Right? Maybe we're sitting and we get really comfortable. Man, I could just live here forever. I'm doing great. I'm making more money than I ever have. I have more friends than I've ever had. I've accomplished more in this life than I ever have before. Maybe I should just keep living it up. And we're not to get too comfortable. Now, I'm not saying don't enjoy the good things of life. But what I am trying to encourage us on is don't realize that this is just passing by. It's like me being in Mexico. I'm enjoying while I'm there, the good things of it while I'm there. But I have to consciously remind myself it's going to go bye-bye really soon. And, you know, that's how I want us to that's how I think about this world is it's going to go away fast. You have to consciously remind yourself of that so you don't become stagnant, too complacent, too comfortable. This is going to lead me to my second point this morning, and that is that Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. And that is a promise. Let's actually turn over to James chapter 5. How confident are you in a promise that God makes? Are you pretty confident when God says something, it's going to happen? I am. Jesus is coming back. And, you know, you can go around, tell everybody, tell all your friends, tell everybody that you're talking to, all the people you work with. You can tell them confidently, unashamedly, excitedly, that Jesus is coming back. And he's coming back soon. It's near. We're in James chapter 5. We're going to read verses 7 and 8. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it, until it gets the early and late rains. You too, be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. You know, the Bible talks about being patient. Strengthen your hearts. Hold the line. Be strong in your resolve. Wait just a little longer. Keep pressing forward. Don't back down. Strengthen your hearts. Be patient. We don't have to endure this world for too much longer. You know, it's true, the saying that you know, life is not too great and then you die. It is true, though. Life is hard. Don't get caught up in the world and let the, you know, a lot of people, you can see it. I see it all the time. People will allow things of the world, the toughness of the world, to beat them down, and they'll try to do things to cope, to deal with, to distract themselves. Don't allow yourself to be caught unprepared for the coming of Christ. Let's turn on over to Matthew chapter 25. There's this saying, I don't know, it's not really used properly a lot. There's actually a couple of sayings. Live every day like it's your last. And spiritually, should we be living every day like it's our last day, brethren? Could Jesus come right now? He absolutely could. Could Jesus come tomorrow? Could he? Yeah. He could come at any moment. This is something that James was saying. He said that strengthen your hearts, the coming of the Lord is near. Now, that's encouraging. That should be encouraging. But that's the nearness of at hand. The coming of the Lord is at hand. It is near. And that was written a long time ago, but we have to constantly keep thinking that way. Each day could be the day. And we can't lose sight of that. Another saying that, other than living every day like your last, spiritually we should, another saying is YOLO. Now, how many of y'all know what YOLO means? You only live once, right? And, you know, again, these things are misused. I want us to take those things and use them properly. Yes, you only live once, so you better make it right with the Lord. You only live one time. It's appointed for man to die once. After that comes judgment. We're in Matthew chapter 25. And this is really an encouraging thing, brethren, because if you're staying consistent to your convictions in the Lord, it should be really exciting to know that Jesus could come at any moment. Amen? Are you guys expecting and eagerly awaiting the coming of Jesus? I am. I'm excited about it. And I'm excited to get as many people to come in along the way and be as excited about it as I am. Matthew 25, we'll read verses 1 through 13. Again, this is going to be a parable or an example to show that Jesus is coming and we better be ready. There's no excuse to not be ready. We just have to be ready. Start in verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the prudent took oil and flasks along with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight there was a shout. Behold the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the prudent, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the prudent answered, no, there will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves. And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Later the other virgins also came, saying, Lord, Lord, open up for us. But he answered, truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour. Be ready. Back in Matthew 24, verse 42, he says, therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. How many of you guys know when Jesus is coming back? There might be some pamphlet in some book somewhere that you can find that has some interpretation of when Jesus is coming back, but we have no idea. We need to be ready. Well, let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. A lot of my messages recently, I don't know if you've noticed this or maybe I'm just finding out, I don't know. I've actually been talking about evangelism. You know, think about the lion, and he's the lion being the devil who wants to devour. Don't you care about people that you love? You probably want them to know that. That's probably helpful information. Here's another one. Jesus is coming soon. Oh yeah, Jesus could be coming today. Jesus could be coming tomorrow. Jesus could be coming on Tuesday. We have no idea. Don't you think that would be maybe helpful information for the lost to know? That's what I want us to think about. And this is something that I even challenge myself on. This is a good reminder. I get caught up in the daily grind sometimes, and I kind of lose sight of, you know, I need to be looking up in expectation. You know, Jesus is going to come back. And you got to be ready. Because when he comes, it's too late. We're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's read verses 15 through 17. For this we say to you, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Is there a lot of... where you can start turning over your Bibles to Philippians 3. Is there a lot of struggle in this life? Life isn't comfortable. I've already made that point a couple times. You know, a lot of times that they use this as comfort in the Bible. Sometimes I don't think I comfort myself by thinking about Jesus' near return. When you're going through some tough times, maybe struggling, trials, sufferings, different things, you know, the sufferings of this life aren't even to be compared with the glory. We haven't looked at 1 John yet, but when Jesus comes back, we're going to be like him. That's exciting. It's really exciting. And we're heading over to Philippians chapter 3, talking about how life is not always comfortable. Maybe the body is not always comfortable to be in. You know, at family camp, I was actually really feeling it. I'm not going to lie. And I know a lot of you, too, were also feeling it. And I don't know if the bug was hitting me or whatnot. And even tonight, when I got here, I was feeling excessively tired, very tired. So thank you for bearing with me. But, you know, this body is, it's kind of, it's something that's not always comfortable. We have to keep pushing through. Well, is this body really what's most important, or is our citizenship in heaven most important? Are you citizens of heaven? Amen. Philippians chapter 3, we'll read verses 20 through 21. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. Is that something that you do? Are you eagerly waiting for that? Let's go on to 1 John chapter 3. In 1 John chapter 3, we'll start in verse 1. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God. And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. My encouragement tonight is, where are you looking? Are you excited about this? Do you feel the weight of the earth, the world, bringing you down? What are you looking forward to? Let's go to Revelation chapter 22, and we'll close up there tonight. There's a saying, I'll just throw this in there, pertaining to being prepared always. And I think it was Roger that actually told me this at first. Talks about luck. You know, a lot of people say, man, so-and-so is just lucky. They're just really lucky. And the saying is that it's not luck. Well, or I guess it's a definition for luck, maybe. But the definition is proper preparation meets opportunity. Are you prepared? Jesus is coming back. We can be sure of that. We don't know when, but are you properly prepared? Luck, you don't get lucky. It's not like when Jesus is going to show up, we just get lucky. We got to be prepared right now. We're in Revelation chapter 22, We'll read verses 12 through, we'll just read 12 and 13. Jesus said, "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to render to every man according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." I just want to encourage us tonight. Jesus is coming again, and he has his reward with him. Stay firm. Hold the line. Strengthen your hearts. The coming of the Lord is near. Thank you.